I'm VOA's Christina Menenti with your worldwide news update. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said in a televised address on Sunday that Israel has, in recent days, hit Iran-backed Hezbollah in Lebanon in ways it could not imagine.
No country can accept the wanton rocketing of its cities. We can't accept it either. We will take whatever action is necessary to restore security and to bring our people safe back to their homes.
Israel and Hezbollah exchanged heavy fire into Sunday, with Israeli warplanes carrying out intense bombardment across Lebanon south and Hezbollah firing over 100 rockets deep into northern Israel. White House National Security spokesperson John Kirby continued to call for restraint. Audio courtesy of ABC's This Week with George Stephanopoulos.
We believe that there are better ways to try to get those Israeli citizens back in their homes up in the north and to keep those that are there safely, than a war, than an escalation, than opening up a second front there at that border with Lebanon against Hezbollah. We still believe that there can be time and space for a diplomatic solution here, and that's what we're working on.
The U.S. has warned Israel about opening up a second battlefront with Lebanon after an unprecedented attack on Hezbollah last week, in which pagers and radios used by its members exploded, killing dozens and wounding thousands. A methane gas explosion in a coal mine in South Khorasan Province, Iran, killed dozens of people and injured at least 20 more, according to Iran state media on Sunday. We were in the workshop, then suddenly we saw smoke coming, and after that, we couldn't breathe. Rescue efforts were ongoing. The governor said that the methane density in the area is high and the operation will take around 3 to 4 hours. President Masoud Pezeshkian expressed condolences to the victims' families, saying the government would learn lessons from the incident. This is VOA News. Sri Lanka has elected Marxist-leaning Anura Kumara Dissanayake as its new president on Sunday after a runoff and second round of counting votes. Sri Lankans are hoping he will bolster a fragile economy. It's something Bimal Ratnayake, Politburo member of the People's Liberation Front, acknowledges.
For 3 years, we have to work, whether we like it or not, under the IMF prescribed program. And next 2 years, we will be relieved from that
Dissanayake, who does not possess political lineage like some of his rivals in the presidential election, led from start to finish during the counting of ballots, knocking out the incumbent president and opposition leader Sajith Premadasa to become Sri Lanka's 10th president. It's the first time in the country's history the president has been elected after having a second vote count, as initially no candidate had reached 50% of the vote. The second round of counting determines the winner using preferential votes. Facing a swirl of conflicts and crises across a fragmented world, leaders attending this week's annual United Nations gathering are being challenged by UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres, working together not only on front burner issues, but on modernizing the international institutions born after World War II so they can tackle the threats and problems of the future.
I called for this summit because 21st century challenges require 21st century solutions. Frameworks that are networked and inclusive, and that draw on the expertise of all of humanity.
The two-day summit of the future started Sunday, ahead of the high-level meeting of world leaders that begins this week at the sprawling UN compound in New York City. A roadside bomb hit a convoy of foreign diplomats visiting northwest Pakistan on Sunday, killing a police officer and their security detail, police said. A SWAT district police officer said that the diplomats were visiting the SWAT Valley area on the invitation of the local Chamber of Commerce to showcase it as a potential tourist destination. Another 4 police officers were wounded, they said. No one has so far claimed responsibility for the attack. Hundreds of Tunisians protested on Sunday against President Kais Saied, accusing him of deepening authoritarian rule and stifling political competition 2 weeks before a presidential election. The protest came after lawmakers proposed a bill to strip the administrative court of its authority to adjudicate electoral disputes, a move that the opposition says would discredit the October 6th election and pave the way for Saied to secure a second term. That wraps up this update, but the world and news never stop. For additional updates, visit our website, voanews.com. I'm Christina Menenti, VOA News.